Welcome back. 34 seconds. That's all we get. 34 seconds of music.
Is that supposed to be like the bells and the clocks? Because we're getting close to daylight saving time changing.
Was no, that's not where I went. This is AC/DC. It had nothing. He picked a song.
Wow, no, you always have themes for the reason you pick a song. I was just guessing.
Yeah, that was a good guess.
Terrible guess.
Welcome back. sun's going to be coming out here shortly. Apparently, daylight saving time is ending, which I think is a good thing because there is talk that we should have the same clock year-round, and I think that that's – I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But until that happens, it's going to be dark next Saturday morning too. But then Sunday morning, you wake up and you move your clock back so you have an extra hour. Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Soriel here, Dr. Mayer, Dr. Ballard. We just had a very lively discussion about when a player should or should not come back. And yes, that's relevant because we have high school kids, we have gymnasts, we have – I have a young lady who is a competitive cheerleader, and they do a lot of dance stuff. And she's coming back from ACL injury, and we're sitting here having this exact debate that we're talking about with Drew Brees. You know, are we in the beginning of the season? Are we – during competition, I love these discussions. And there's not a right or wrong answer. Now, we're going to shift gears, but still stay in the same genre. I don't know how to say this guy's name. Osamali?
Kelechi?
I'm going to go with the wiki. I don't even know how to do the pronunciation guide, but Kelechi Osemele. Okay. Hopefully that's correct.
So apparently he is a Texas kid, went to Rice, lineman.
Iowa State.
Oh, Iowa State. Sorry.
Yep, born Houston, Texas, Iowa State grad, 2012, second round pick. Played, Super Bowl champion, I think, eventually. I think it was with Baltimore Ravens. Moved on to Oakland, is now with the Jets.
Why don't you present the case? This is a shoulder thing, so you're the one that's going to be talking about it anyway.
Yeah, so it's kind of been all over the news because I don't know if I've ever seen – a situation like this where the player has openly just laid it out. And there's, and in fact, I don't know if Sod and them can find just that 30-second quote where they're interviewing him because he kind of lays it out at a very 30,000-foot level, but pretty, like, that's your one-liner that the media likes. But so he's got a shoulder injury, a posterior labral tear. And so that is just that rim of tissue in the back of your shoulder, which is so common with linemen. You see this in linemen.
Because they're pushing away.
Pushing away, bench press guys, shoulder press guys, pain in the back of the shoulder. Super common. I mean, hell, I did this on Friday. Super common surgery. And he apparently has had it for a while, but now it's become symptomatic. And he is telling the Jets, I need to have surgery. Like this, I can't play through this anymore. And the Jets are saying, Whoa. You're going to play through this. And if you don't play through this, we're going to fine you.
And fix it at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Play and fix it at the end of the season.
Play, and we'll address it later. And I want to say his game checks are $580,000, if I read that right.
Yep.
They are fining him every week.
His game checks. So he's basically playing for, or he's free. So hang on, one more thing, and this is important before you go on. His contract is worded in such a way, at least according to SI, that he is due $9.8 million. And if he is a starter on game one, then that money becomes guaranteed.
Mm.
That is a big
player and
component
influence
of this decision.
Right.
Big component. If that $9.8 million was not guaranteed, then we would not be having this discussion right now. But go ahead.
So if he got the guaranteed money, well, just to follow up on that, are they fining him, saying they're going to go back after that money?
No. From this point forward, if you're not playing, you're not getting paid.
But he got the 9.8 guaranteed, but he's not going to get further money.
Doesn't play next season, he doesn't get the 11 mil he's due.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. No. They're saying, okay, guaranteed, but you're fined. So it's semantics. The fine. Why?
So they're fining him more than $500,000 every.
But
every
he's going to start. So
right.
He's saying at this point, I can't play anymore. And it got to the point saying, why is the team doing this to me? What do I have to take to be on the field to play? And he makes the statement, what do I got to be on Vicodin now to try and play?
Woo-woo.
So he goes outside the Jets.
Flag on to play.
To another doc.
Big, yeah.
Yeah. Well, first of all, why are you saying Vicodin? I don't even think Vicodin's on the market anymore. So, but I get where he's going with it. So he goes to another team doc. I don't even know if he's a team doc, another surgeon, right, and says, yeah, I'll do your surgery. Now, both the Jets and this other doc, everyone agrees he's got a posterior labral tear.
Yeah, nobody
you know what?
Argues the diagnosis.
I would say the vast majority of offensive linemen in the NFL probably have posterior labral tears. And so the question is not, does he have the tear or not? How do you decide when it's symptomatic or not?
How do you decide if this is really affecting him to the point that he can't do his job?
What's the tipping point for surgery? Well, to be honest with you, how does anybody other than Kelechi?
No.
Exactly.
No one's going to know.
Exactly.
Look, I'm a doc. I'm going to trust my patient if they're telling me that. How in the world are you ever going to know, oh, this guy's just lying to me and I shouldn't do the surgery? I don't have a test for that. I don't have a magic wand. I don't have
this
a crystal ball to
this
know,
is
he making it up? The guy's got an injury. Everyone agrees on it. If he's saying he can't play, look, my job's a doc, right? What does a doc do? Take away patient suffering, right? If he's suffering, you're going to take it away.
Well,
the rest, the legal stuff, the semantics, the noise outside of it, I don't think that's up for the doctors to figure out. Now, the Jets.
No, no. So I think it's our responsibility. Say you are the team physician. He comes in. He says, my shoulder's hurting. You examine him. You say, you know what? I think you may have a labral tear. We get an MR arthrogram, and you see a labral tear. Then the question becomes, okay, is this the cause of his pain? And if you say yes, okay. And if he says, I can't play because the pain is too much, as a team doc, just as a physician seeing a patient, I have to honor that.
I'm going to say this. This is a rookie mistake by the Jets medical staff.
What is the Jets medical staff?
Absolutely a rookie mistake by the Jets medical staff.
Is there any possibility that the Jets medical staff is being superseded on this, and those team docs are like, yeah, I mean, the guy's hurt and he's having pain, but your legal, your general manager saying,
this dude is getting paid.
We're paying this guy.
You
know what I mean?
We need him on the field.
And now these docs are kind of they're in the worst case scenario spot because now they look like they're the team docs that don't want to respect and listen to players, that they're working for the team. We will do everything we can to make our players play. This puts a horrible reputation for the Jets. Think about if you're a free agent.
Yep.
Why would you want to go to the Jets if you know you can't trust anybody in that locker room? They're going to make you play at all costs. They don't care what you got.
It looks really, really bad.
Particularly now that it got out in the media. He's saying, I had an injury. I don't care. I'm going to get fined. I'm going to go get this taken care of the way it should be because I have a labral injury and you guys aren't listening to me, and now you're fining me for an injury that it sustained on the field for you.
He was getting.
This is horrible.
Getting injections before every game prior to him.
So that means
surgery.
You're acknowledging it,
and they do.
That means you're acknowledging the fact that he hurt.
They have come out, both sides acknowledging he's got the injury.
Look, when you say rookie mistake by the medical staff,
yes.
To me, it's medical staff and ownership because, like, together.
No. Hang on. Okay. So, I love
you. Got to be able to sit down.
This is a total mess.
Listen, administrative folks, the folks at the highest of the team have to sit down with the medical and say, well, I mean, like, what are we doing?
Yep. So here's the thing. In some cases, it's best to have gray hair and have experience under your belt.
What if you ain't got no hair like me? What do you do with that?
If you had hair, what if you're in between
Ballard and Soria?
It wouldn't be gray.
You still have hair. It's kind of gray, but it's not.
It's not
shiny white.
I'm going to give you the gray hair answer to the 30 year experience here. You cannot, and I don't care who the decision maker is, whether it's the Pee Wee coach or whether it's the head football coach at the high school level, or whether it's the I'm blanking on the position, or the general manager of the team, or the athletic director. You need to know who the decision maker is. And to be an effective team physician, you have got to have credibility and an open line of communication with that decision maker. Because ultimately, if you don't have that, you know, one of the things you brought up, Dr. Mayer, is was the medical staff superseded by administration? If that was the case, then that is a very weak and ineffective medical staff. As a medical staff, you should be able to go to whoever the decision maker, maybe the owner, and say, this kid can't play. He's got a labral tear. He says he can't play. We have to go with it. And they could have very easily diffused the entire situation. I don't know who the Jets medical staff is, but after 33 years of professional medical experience at that level, I can tell you that they did not do their job, and that's why they look the way they look. The kid's got a problem. They acknowledge that he has a problem. He's been getting injections so he can play. He finally gets to the point and says, I can't play, and has surgery. I mean, he's going to win this. I guarantee you he's going to win this arbitration. Ineffective medical. And remember, the reason that we're talking about it is because this is relevant at every level of sports that we know of.
Well, and we've got to give perspective so that people understand, like, there's more behind what you read or what you listen to. Because this is just feeding into the distrust that apparently already exists
yep.
in professional sport, particularly yep. NFL. Because, Doc, what was the stat that you said earlier in terms of the survey that was given to NFL players?
81%. Now, mind you, that was a few years ago, so maybe worse.
81% of NFL players do not trust their medical staff. Everybody sitting here on this radio show right now have seen a second opinion from a professional player who has said, listen, I'm coming to see you. Don't let my team know. This is all, you know, I'm coming to you in secret because I know that if I disclose that I have an issue or that I have this pain, so what do I need to do? Because I distrust their medical decision-making that they're going to put me out there or they're not going to listen to me that I have pain. Can you give me a shot? Can you give me this?
I know we got to go on break, but yep. when we come back, I will give the same story of the same situation of another NFL lineman with the same injury that this story was flipped on its side. And I saw this player last year.
Oh, I love that tease. That's a good one. And also joining us after this break, Dr. Blumenthal, we're going to find out where in the world is Scott. In fact, somebody, was it last week on Facebook? Somebody said we need to have a segment.
Where in the world is Dr. Blumenthal?
All right, quick break. Coming right back. Inside Sports Medicine, 855-787-1033. The text machine is 21,000. Start off with the four letters ESPN. Those texts come directly to us. Coming right back.